Well, welcome to Front Range. My name is Ernest Smith. I'm the lead pastor, and we're grateful you guys are joining us. I want to thank all of you joining us online, whether you are still on fall break or you're sick at home or something like that. Man, we're glad that you are joining us as well. And right now, we are in a series called Love in Action, and it's kind of partnered with this campaign that we're doing for the next 7 more weeks. And so all of you have this little booklet that's like near you. If you don't have one, take it from the person down the row from you. But you should have one near you. Some of you guys came last week, so you know what this is about. Some of you weren't able to make it. And so I just want to kind of give you a quick rundown on what we're doing. We just firmly believe that everything we do here as followers of Jesus will be better in heaven, except for 2 things. Like, your worship will be better, your community will be better, your study of God's word will be better in heaven. But you can't do 2 things in heaven that you can do now, and that's find a lost person and tell them about Jesus, and then help the hurting and the broken. Now, we're all hurting and broken, but when we get to heaven, there's no longer any of that hurt and brokenness and all of that. And the only 2 things you can do now that you can't do there is find a lost person and help them meet Jesus and then care for the hurting and broken. So we said, hey, for 2018, we want to make sure you guys know all the different partnerships that we have, all the ways that we can partner with them, serve them, go on mission trips, all of that stuff. And so all of that is in here. As a part of it, we're trying to raise $75,000 to be able to give away. That sounds like a lot of money, and it is. But we believe that you are a generous church, and every dime that comes in, we're going to be able to give to the different partners here. And every week, we want to highlight a different partner and just kind of tell you a little bit of their story and whatnot. So I have Ashley Smith up here with me. Ashley is in charge of our outreach here at Front Range. In fact, if you are interested in getting involved in any way in serving, they're on page 9 and 10, it says opportunities to serve. You can get her email down below, ashleysmith@frontrange.org. So Ashley, a heartbeat of ours from day one has been to serve the schools here. We've done that with Mesa and with South and with Castleview and now here at Douglas County. But we've had a pretty cool opportunity open up here at Douglas County. Tell us a little bit about that.
So basically, we've been in Douglas County High School meeting now since July. And since we got here, we have met with the staff of the school a couple times. And they've actually told us that they have kids who... during the week actually have subsidized meals here for food, for lunch. And basically that means they either get free or reduced lunch during the week.
And breakfast as well.
And breakfast. What that also means is they don't necessarily have food on the weekends. They don't necessarily have food to eat in the evenings at home. So we looked at that as a calling from God, that how can we step up and help this. So about a month and a half ago, we asked you guys to donate to their food pantry. And thank you, church. You did amazing. We got so much food, but the need is huge. 11 families at the time we were able to give food to. And in a course of 3 weeks, all the food was gone. So thank you. But the need is still there. Basically, you know, we, being here in the church, or in the school as the church, we look at Douglas County High School as our extended family. And these kids are going home on the weekend, and their families aren't having any food to eat. That breaks my heart. Our extended family doesn't necessarily have the ability to eat on the weekend, so.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't know really what that's like. I experienced being broke when I was, growing up, and then some in my marriage. But I've never had a situation where I couldn't feed my kids. So we brought in like thousands of groceries. I mean, a ton, like dozens and dozens of bags of groceries, and it only lasted 3 weeks.
So, for 11 families.
For 11 families. So, what is the need now, and what are we doing moving forward?
So basically, the school has expressed that they have 36 families right now that are in need. We've heard back from 16 of those families that definitely want our help, and we want to be able to help them. So we've come up with an idea to be able to have Front Range families adopt Douglas County High School families so that they have the ability to eat Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday mornings before they come to school. What that looks like is if a Front Range family was able to adopt a Douglas County High School family, it would cost about $100 a month to feed them over the course of the weekend. That looks like $25 a week. And if that's not something that your family is financially able to do right now, we also have other options where we can partner you with other Front Range families, giving $50 a month or even $33 a month. So
what's the average size of these families?
The average size of these families is 6 people. So we're feeding them for $100 for the course of the weekend, 6 families. And that's, you know, parents. Some of them are actually even multi-generational families, as all the way down to little kids and babies. So get
what we're saying here. Okay, in America right now, there's this big movement that the churches are being kicked out of schools. And we're saying we get the opportunity to partner with the school to be able to feed the families in that school. Like, that's an incredible, that's only a God opportunity that we get, where they are inviting us to be a part of being a solution to caring for the families that are here. And so we have 36 families that are in need of help, and it's $100 a month to feed these families. Some of you, you're like, that's easy, I can do that, $100 a month. Some of you are like, whoa, that's big. So then you can partner with another family, and we'll do all that. We'll help you with the partnership stuff, but that's $50 or 3 families for $33. And what we're asking is that if you do this, don't just provide money every month for these families, but we want you praying for these families. We want you to see this as like an adoption type thing, like a foster piece, where you actually are stepping into their world in a sense and caring for them. And so when Christmas time comes around, if you want, you don't have to, but if you want and you want to provide gifts and stuff like that, we won't know their names, but we can get information like their ages and stuff like that. But they're going to be guarded on some of the information that they're going to give to us. And so we want to provide for them. We want to care for them. Another way that we're going to try to serve this school and a few others that we've done in the past, if you've been a part of Front Range for longer than a year, we do these Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets every year where it's same thing. Like if they're on subsidized meals and they're not getting food on the weekend, that they don't get food for the entire break of Thanksgiving and for the entire break of Christmas. Think about that. Think about 2 weeks of not having food. I mean, that shouldn't be, especially here in Douglas County. That should never be here. And so what we do every year is we say, hey, let's raise enough money to do Thanksgiving baskets, and let's raise enough money to do Christmas baskets. Thanksgiving baskets are $40. Christmas baskets are $80, because obviously you're going twice the length of time to care for them. Last year, we were able to hand out a little over 250 baskets to people in need here at Douglas County, Southridge Elementary, and Mesa Middle School. We're hoping for 300 this year. So we're really putting the goal out to, let's say, let's raise enough money for 300 baskets to be able to give to people.
As well as with the adopting Douglas County families, what it's going to look like is your family will donate the money, and then the outreach team is actually going to go, and we're going to purchase the food, and we also have the ability to come into the school and distribute food into the baskets on a weekly basis. So we take care of the logistics. If that's something that you're interested in doing, I'm always looking for more help on the outreach team. So definitely go to page 10 of the Love in Action book, and my email address is at the bottom of it. I'd love to hear from you and get you connected up and see how you can help the families. And
so our Love in Action is not just giving funds, but you can volunteer and then you can pray as well. So we're gonna take a moment and let's pray for Douglas County right now. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be inside of a public school, talking about you, worshiping you. And then in addition to that, the opportunity you've given us to partner with this school, God, to be able to care for the families here. And I pray that we as a church, that we would rise up to the opportunity, God, and we would care for those who are in need. God, that you would use the blessings you've given to us to be able to bless others. God, we thank you for the opportunity. We give you glory. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, so let's go ahead and jump straight into today's discussion. The Q&A series and this series that we're in right now has produced a ton of questions from you guys, and a lot of those questions are about tithing and generosity. In fact, I've never gotten more questions about generosity than at any other time in the history of our church and in the last few weeks, which I'm so grateful for. Because it means that many of us are beginning to really take some pieces of our faith very seriously. And I believe that when you begin to ask the hard questions and then you're obedient to what God says, that you'll see your faith grow exponentially. But I'll be honest with you, as your pastor, it's really difficult for me to talk about money. I hate doing any type of talk about money. Because I think a lot of people, when they come to a church and they start to hear that money's going to be talked about, they're like, oh, great, here we go again, or something like that. And here's my heart. I'm not looking for something from you. Okay, my heart is never to look something from, that's why I love this whole Love in Action campaign, because everything is about outside. It's not about what you can give to Front Range. Every dime that is given goes away. It goes to those who are in need. Your opportunities to serve and go on mission trips and all of that is not about me and what I want from you. As your pastor, it's not what I want from you, but it's what I want for us, for this church, for this community and the community abroad. And I firmly believe that the teachings that you find in Scripture, when Jesus talks about tithing and generosity and you and I using our resources to bless others, first, he talks about that more than any other topic than the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is number one he talks about, and then money is number two. So it's an important topic. It's one that has like greatly impacted my life and my family's life. And I believe it's one that if you and I take seriously, that not only will impact us, it'll impact the people around us, and it will bring glory to God in the world that we see. And when you study generosity in the New Testament, there are five main guidelines that are taught. Number one, we're taught to be willing and joyful in our giving. Like no one wants the grumpy giver, right? The person who's like complaining all the time about having to give. That's in 2 Corinthians 9. We were taught to give on a regular basis. If you don't give on a regular basis, you probably won't give very often at all. 1 Corinthians 16, we were taught to give proportionate to one's ability. 1 Corinthians 16, we were taught to be sacrificial. Mark chapter 12, Acts chapter 4. And lastly, we're taught to be generous with our giving. Now, this guideline is the biggest struggle for me because I don't know what it actually means to be generous. Like your definition of generous may look very different than my definition. So what does it mean to actually give generously? Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's one of my favorite on this topic. And it's one of my favorite because it's super encouraging and yet convicting at the same time. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you don't have your Bibles, no worries. It'll be up on the screen. Or you could download the Front Range Church app and get the Bible right there. Or you can just take one of ours. We always have these in the back. And today we're on page 820, I believe. I'm wrong. 802. I knew there was an 8 and a 2 and a 0. 802. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Let me set it up real quick. So Paul, he wrote a large portion of the New Testament. He planted churches all over the place. Most of these churches were Gentile churches, meaning non-Jewish believers. And so he's writing, he begins to write to these non-Jewish churches and telling them, hey, there's a great need in Jerusalem. And the church in Jerusalem was made up of primarily Jewish believers, meaning people who grew up in the Jewish faith and they accepted Christ. And this community was in great need. In fact, Paul gives us a little explanation of the need that they're in. They're under heavy persecution. Many of them have lost their jobs. They can't find jobs because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so they're very, very poor, and they have no way of getting out of the city. I mean, imagine being in their place in this moment. Imagine you not being able to get a job because of your religious beliefs. Imagine you not being able to sustain the job because you made it a commitment to follow Jesus. Imagine you barely making it paycheck to paycheck and you have no extra income to get your family out of the very city that is persecuting you, beating you, or some of them died because of their faith and you want out, but you have no money to get out. So Paul writes this letter, and in the letter he says, hey, those of you who have a little bit, you should give to those who have a great need. And so that's where we pick up 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2, it says this: We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. And in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Now, every time I read this, I think, what in the world? Like, these churches in Macedonia, which is current-day Greece, these churches, it says that they're under severe affliction. So not only the church in Jerusalem, but these churches are under severe affliction. And it says that they're broke. And I don't mean broke. I mean like broke. Like you've ever been broke before, then you know what I'm talking about. Like you're broker than broke. Like you're poorer than the poor. And that's it. He says that they're broke. And not only that, but they're going through major issues in their life. And yet somehow in the midst of all of that, they had great joy. And that great joy produced an overflowing of generosity on their part. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, that's really difficult to grasp, because for me, like, way I've been taught is when you get to a comfortable place in your life, when everything's going okay, then you can think about others. But he's saying that these people were already thinking about others, even though they had such extreme pain, extreme affliction, and they were very broke. So how did they do this? Let's keep reading. Verse 3, it says, "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." I love the phrase that Paul uses here to talk about this contribution, to talk about their very own love and action campaign. He uses this phrase, it's an act of grace. Sounds like a strange way to talk about a special offering, right? Like, give to this act of grace. Just kind of sounds strange, but the reason why he uses that phrase is because contributing to the needs of others is only made possible by God's undeserving gifts to you and I. You see, God's grace is an undeserved gift. It means you got something not because you earned it, not because you were good enough, not because you were smart enough, not because you worked hard enough, but God's grace is given to you and I simply because he loves us. And it's out of that grace that we are then to show our generosity. We are then to be generous with our giving. To put it another way, generous giving is not about how much money you have made, but rather about how much grace you have received. Think about that for a moment. Like, that's a powerful truth. Let me restate it just so we all catch it. Generous giving is not about how much money you have made, but rather how much grace you have received. Did you know that you are the richest person on the planet? That you and I are and I'm not talking about because we live in America. Okay, put that aside. Those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, we are the richest people on the planet. Like, there's no one who has more than what we've been given. The joy and the peace and the eternal life and the blessings, the eternal rewards, all of those things. Like, you and I have been blessed tremendously. Like, we've been set free from our sin. We don't have to go into the addiction. We don't have to live that life anymore. Imagine all that you've been given, all because of God's grace. You're the richest person on the planet. And like, your wealth isn't dependent on what your portfolio says. It's not dependent on what your bank account statement says. Your wealth is dependent on the amount of grace that Jesus has given to you. And if you've accepted Christ, then the amount of grace you've received makes you extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy. And Paul says that you give out of that wealth. You give out of that grace. You give out of what he has given to you. Like, there's so much joy and worship in my heart because of what he's done for me. I can't help but give to those who are in need to show them the same grace that I've received. What Paul is saying here is that what Christ has done for us should be reflected in what we do for others. He goes on, verse 8, he says, "I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Paul's saying what we discussed last week, that love is giving up our freedom so that others can find theirs. Jesus gave up his freedoms. He became poor so that you and I would become rich. He gave up the very freedoms that he had so that you and I can find our freedom, so that we would put our love into action the very way that he put his love into action for us. Let's continue. Verse 10, "And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have." All right, quick survey real quick. Man, how many of you have started a project that you did not finish? Anybody? Okay, let me ask it another way, just in case. How many of you women have a man in your life who started a project that they did not finish? Yeah, this is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying right here, hey, a year ago, you wanted to do this. A year ago, you started doing it. You had this desire. You were like, yes, let's meet the needs of the people. And some of you are like, Ernest, you're going to talk about love and action for 7 weeks? Like, that's way too. Paul talked about it for a year. A year. He's like, hey guys, remember a year ago when I said, hey, there's these people that are dying. They've lost their jobs. They can't get out of the city. They have no money. They need your help. Remember when we talked about that? And you were like, yes, let's help them. Do it. Like, do it. But there was something that was holding them up. There was something that was preventing them from being generous in their giving. Verse 12 gives us a little insight. It says this, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. It appears that they're saying, hey, I don't have enough money to give what I want, so I just won't give right now. Like, I'm going to wait until I get enough money to be able to give what I want to give, and then when I get there, then I'll give that money. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Like, they're prohibiting themselves from being generous and from blessing others and helping the needs of other people because they think, well, what I have to give is just not a whole lot. But when I make more, then I'll be able to give more, and then that's when I would give. It sounds crazy, but I hear this all the time. I hear all the time from people who go, man, I would love to give more. And when I get that new job, I'll give more. When I get that bonus, then I'll give more. Or when I win the lottery, then I'll give more. And we think that once we get a whole lot more, then we'll be able to give a whole lot more. But the reality is the truth of generosity and generous giving is not waiting for the right time, but it's about having the right heart. It's not waiting for that one day. Like, I know a guy who's won the lottery twice. Like, millions and millions and millions. Like, when's the right time for him to give? Before he ever won the lottery. Because it starts with your heart. It doesn't start with your bank account. It doesn't start with how much money you have. It starts with a desire and then the willingness to do it. In fact, when you get more money, if the heart's not there, you'll probably be reluctant to give. Like, you'll say, man, I'll give when I get this amount. But when you get that amount, you're like, oh, that's a lot of money to give. I don't know if I can do that. Like, I had that experience one time. I just graduated college, and my dad paid for my sister's college. And so he said, to be fair, I'm going to do that to you, which was like the first time ever in my life that there was fairness growing up. And so I'm like, yes, praise God. And I had worked really hard to get through college. Like, I paid for my college. And so my dad, he just wrote me a check. And I'm like, yes, what can I do with this? And then immediately the Lord was like, you're going to give 10%. And I'm like, oh, that's a lot of money. Like, you would think in that moment, if somebody would say, hey, Ernest, if somebody gives you this amount of money, will you give this amount? I'd be like, yeah, sure. But when it's in your hand and you think, oh man, I got to give even more because this is even more, I don't know. Because generous giving is not about, you know, having enough money. It's not about the right time. It's about having the right heart. It's about understanding that Jesus has done something so much for you and I. Like, he's given us so much grace. How dare we not give it back? How dare we not return it and use it for the good of others? Paul wraps up this section in verse 13. He says this, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need and there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. I love the phrase that he uses there, at this present time. Paul's saying right now, churches in Macedonia, you guys may not think that you have a whole lot of money, but let me tell you, what you do have is way more than what these people have. And right now, the way that these people are going to get taken care of is if you use what you have to take care of these people. But don't worry, because there might come a time in your life where you don't have, and these people might have, and it will be returned to you. Don't worry about that. Like, God will take care of your needs when you're in need. And for those of us who have been in need financially before, we understand this principle. Like, we've gotten this before. And there was a time in our marriage where Sarah and I, we were poor. I mean, like, living well below the poverty line. I mean, it wasn't even like paycheck to paycheck. It was credit card and credit card. And I do not advocate for that, trust me. But that, like, I felt like that was the only thing we could do at the time. We weren't, like, spending lavishly, trust me on that. Like, Sarah would go buy something at a garage sale for a dollar, and I'd be like, where are we getting that dollar from? Like, we were poor, and that's a true story many, many times. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what else to do. And then one day, my car breaks down, and I'm like, oh, that's great. Like, the only transportation I have, like, when it rains, it pours, it seems like, sometimes in life. And so I didn't know what to do, and I walked into the office that day, and there was an envelope. And the person, nobody knew what I was going through. This was before Twitter and all that stuff. So you couldn't be like, hey, my car broke. Anybody want to help me? Like, this was before any of that. So it was like, I knew and my wife knew. And I walked into the office and there was an envelope there filled with cash. And it was enough cash to pay for my car. Now, I don't know who gave, but what I did know is that when I was able to get a little bit of extra, I started looking around, who has needs? What can I do? Because the Bible tells us the principle is this: whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Nothing left over. Did you know that when you die, there's not going to be a U-Haul behind that hearse? Like, just think about that for a moment. Like, nothing is going in the grave with you, and if it does, shame on you. You should keep that here for somebody else. Like the Egyptians did that, right? And now we're like, yes, let's go search for their gold. Like, thank you for leaving it behind. Like, we should not take any, we're not going to be able to take anything with us. Nothing goes into the afterlife with us. Nothing goes into heaven with us except our soul. Like, that's it. There's no money, there's no wealth, there's not. And so the principle is this: whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Because they looked at the little bit extra they had or the a lot extra that they had, and they go, who has needs? And the second part of that, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Now, in our culture, what we're taught is that whoever had a lack, whoever had gathered not a whole lot, well, that's on them. I mean, they probably spent it on drugs and alcohol. I mean, they're probably not trying to go get themselves a job. Like, that's on them. And so we look at our little bit, and God says, give that little bit to the person who needs it. And we're like, oh, I don't know, because I need a little bit more. And then when I get a little bit more, then I'll be in a comfortable place, and then I can give it to those who have need, but only those who have real needs, not those who have fake needs because of themselves or whatever, whatever. The Bible says the world that we live in, man, is upside down in a lot of ways. And when it comes to generosity, it's really upside down. And when you live out this mentality that what I have is for others, it's to bless others, then you learn this principle about generous giving, and that's generous giving manifests the grace of God in our lives to the glory of God in the world. And when you give generously, it manifests God's grace in our lives. As you say, man, I've been given so much, so much. Like, take the money aside, I've been given so much. And so your generous giving manifests that to the glory of God in the world around us. So then God is actually glorified. Generous giving brings glory to God because it reflects the heart of God. Our God is a generous, generous God. Think about all that he has given to you. Think about all he has done. I mean, he sent Jesus to die for us when we didn't deserve it. He allowed most of us to be born here in a very wealthy country, to live in a very wealthy area, to have the jobs that we do, to have the health. I mean, we are so blessed. And I used this quote last week by a buddy of mine. He said this: one of the greatest tragedies in life is when someone is blessed but doesn't know the purpose of that blessing. You see, when you're blessed, when you've been given God's grace, we should be asking the question, God, how do you want me to use this? God, how do you want me to pass this on? God, how do you want me to use my little bit here to help the person who has a little bit of need there or a whole lot of need there? You see, the church in Macedonia, they got it. These churches, they understood it, that their blessing, their being blessed, wasn't for themselves, but it was to be able to give away. It was to be able to bless others. That their blessings weren't for them, but it was for others. It was to show others the very grace of God that they had received. Our blessings aren't for our rewards. Our reward is found in being a blessing with our blessings. And my prayer is that we as a church, that over the next 7 weeks, that as we talk about the different partnerships we have and the different ways we're trying to help people and the goal of trying to raise $75,000, be able to give it away, that we would go, God, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use the little bit that I have left over? A little bit that I have left over to be able to help those who haven't been able to gather as much, who have a need. I pray we'll be able to bless missionaries in Kenya and North India with the resources to plant more churches, to start more clinics, to start more schools, to take the gospel into the interior of those places to people who have never heard about Jesus before. Imagine that. I pray we'll be able to help church plants right here in our own country that are working in some of the most challenging cities, the places where church plants don't survive, and we'd be able to come alongside them and give them resources to help them survive and reach people and care for people that are hurting in our country. I pray we'll be able to use our resources right here in our own community that God would use us to care for the hurting and the broken right here in Douglas County. I pray that God would be able to use our resources, our generosity, our grace, our act of grace to bless the families right here, to bless those families at Thanksgiving, to be able to bless those families at Christmas, to be able to bless those families every weekend as they have needs. May we be the church that takes after the churches of Macedonia. May we return to the Lord, as it says they did. They returned to the Lord. And when you return to the Lord, you're reminded of God's grace to you. When you return to the Lord, you're reminded of what God has done for you. When you do that, then there's an outpouring. No matter what your bank account says, no matter what your portfolio says, that God uses your act of grace to then bless others and meet others' needs. May we be that church. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the power of your word and the power of these churches and the grace that they display. But God, I know so many times in my own life there's caution in giving. Whether that's caution, that caution is because I think I don't have enough, or I'm scared of my own needs. I'm not truly trusting that you'll meet my needs. Or that caution is because I think, well, those people, they put themselves in that situation. But God, I thank you that you don't call us to be cautious with our finances. You call us to be generous, to place our trust in you, to be wise with what you've given to us, but be generous. For Father, it's not a blessing of you, but it's a returning back to you what you've given. So God, I pray for each one of us that you would help us to know what we're to do with this conversation, what we're to do with the families right here at Douglas County High School, with the missionaries, the church planters, the organizations here locally, that you would tell us what we're to do, how we're to engage this truth of generous giving. And may we not wait for the right time, because that right time will never come. May we ask you to give us the right heart. May a generous giving not be born out of how much money we've made, but be born out of how much grace we've received. And may it all be given to your glory in this world. Father, I know that the first step in being able to be truly generous with our lives is to return back to you. And I know every day, every week, Father, here at Front Range, we have people who come into this place that if we're to be real honest with ourselves, we'd say, man, I feel far from God. I feel distant from him. God's calling you back to return to him today. That's his grace. That's his mercy. That he loves you enough to have sent Jesus Christ and died on the cross for our sins. So we didn't have to live that way anymore. We can live in freedom and receive his grace. And if that's you, if today you want to commit your life to Christ or recommit your life to Christ, you want to receive God's grace in your life today, I just want you to look up at me. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Amen. Father, thank you for your grace. I thank you for your grace that you give us, for we don't deserve it. God, you are so good. You are so powerful. You love us so much. And in our brokenness, you meet us right where we are. And I thank you, God. You offer us grace anytime we turn to you, anytime we look to you. God, we thank you for that. And Father, I now ask you to reveal to us what we are to do with the grace that we have received, to help meet the needs and to care for others so that they will experience your grace and give you glory. Father, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name.